Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together and we talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 236. I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by Spencer Rain.
Yo.
You were out last week, Spencer. You were traveling.
I was.
Was your vacation good?
You know, it was nice to get away. I went on a skiing trip, and I'm not very good at skiing.
So oh, yeah. I heard that.
It was kind of fun.
Very
expensive pastime, I must say.
Yeah. I used to snowboard when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I've never skied, though.
They say snowboarding has a steeper learning curve, but once you kind of get that, it's pretty easy compared to skiing.
It's funny because that to me seems counterintuitive, because with snowboarding, the fact that your legs are tied together, you don't have to worry about crossing your skis or moving your legs in tandem or anything. You just control. And as long as you keep one edge of the board dug into the powder, you're always going. But you can't like go straight. Like skis, you can kind of go straight.
Yeah.
Snowboarding, you're always going slightly at an angle.
You're kind of like shark swimming.
You're going, you know, back and forth doing like a loose slalom.
When was the last time that you did that?
I think you've made the joke a couple times. Was it you that made the joke that there's a snowboard in my mom's garage that's been there for like 20 years?
Yeah. I've talked about that. Yeah.
There's another one in my dad's garage because my brother, I think, left his at my mom's and I left mine at my brother left his at my dad's and I left mine at my mom's. I think the last time I went would have been in my teens.
Oh, wow.
And since I'm in my mid-30s, it would have been 20 years ago.
At least, yeah, 15, 20 years ago.
And since then,
it comes back to you.
Well, I have no doubt that I still have the skills because, like, I'm sure I could still do it if not for the fact that I had knee surgery on my left knee in my early 20s. And I wonder if the pivoting that I would need to use my knees on would just like kill me.
I don't know. I think you could probably do it. I mean, you'd be really sore, but you're going to be sore no matter what. Like I was the 2 days after skiing, I was like very, very sore, like everywhere. It had bruises like in random places.
Yeah, you definitely use muscles that you forget existed. And especially when you're new and you fall down a lot. Yeah, you get bruised a lot.
Yeah. So next time I do that, I will be spending the money on lessons. But lessons are also not cheap. So it was nice to be away, obviously, for some time.
Well, I'm sure you know that I grew up in Kansas City, and Indianapolis has one of these as well. There's a local place that does the like make your own snow, where they basically, you know, when it's cold out, they shoot like water droplets up into the air and it comes down as snow. There's a place in northern Indiana that does that.
And in southern Indiana, there's two of them.
Oh, I didn't know about that. So when I was a kid, we used to go there every weekend with my dad for two or three winters. So like that's how we got it. And they had a bunny hill, you know, where you could start and learn and fall down a bunch. And so when you're going every weekend or every other weekend for a long period of time, obviously you can build up some skills. So we never did any like training or anything. We just, you know, learned through falling down.
That's what Kate, she picked it up pretty fast, but she'd skied before. She picked it up really fast and had a better time than I did probably. But I just have like the personality and kind of like the mental outlook that I like need a professional to like tell me how to do things, because like people can talk to me about it all day long, like because we went with some other people that used to live in Colorado, and so they're very good skiers, and like he's like walking me through how to do stuff, and I'm like, I need someone to like talk to me like I'm dumb on something like this, because I had never skied before or even done anything like that. Like I've wakeboarded, you know, on a boat, you know, on the water, but that's like the extent of my like board-based sporting experience. So
I've never done that. I actually am more interested in, what is it, what's the thing where you do the parachute behind a boat? Is that parasailing?
Yeah, I
want to do that.
He said we were actually talking about that on Friday, because we're going to Key Largo for a wedding next year. One of our friends is getting married, and he was talking about he parasailed when he went to Key West with his family, I don't know, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And he was like, it was fun, but it's one of those things that I feel like you only need to do once. And then you're like, all right, I've done it. I don't need to do it again.
I feel that way about a lot of things. And then there's other things that I would never do, like bungee jumping. I've seen too many TikToks of breaking.
Yeah, I would 100% skydive, but bungee dive. Yeah, bungee. What is it? Yeah, bungee cord diving or whatever. Or like, what do they call it? Where you
bungee jumping is bungee
jumping. Yeah, is that where you stand on the edge of like a bridge or a cliff and then just like fall off? Yeah, no.
Yeah,
thank you.
With it tied to your feet or whatever.
Yep.
No. I've seen too many videos where they either forget to hook it or they jump and it breaks, or like you just see all these horror videos.
Like, I feel like I would like break my ankle or something, or like there'd be a really high chance that like I would sprain my ankle from that or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't seem like as fun as, because like with skydiving, you know, you're at like several thousand feet up, so like you see things for a long time, or at least, you know, longer than a bungee jump.
Yeah, and you have two chutes, and usually if it's your first jump, you have someone else attached to you, so like there's so many, I don't know, backups, if so to speak. Like when you bungee jump, it's not like they send you down with two cords in case one breaks. I don't know. I don't know how we got here. Oh, because you're vacation.
Extreme sports. Although I wouldn't really consider skiing extreme.
No, it's more close. Expensive. Yeah, well, I mean, there is extreme expensive. Snowboarding. Like, you know,
and
like
skiing. Yeah, like the double black diamonds where people are going like 90 miles an hour. Yeah, I'd consider that extreme.
Yeah, or the like the I don't know, like the people that just go out into the like not ski resorts. Like they just ski down like giant mountains through like trees, and like the powder is like 10 feet deep. And like,
yeah.
Just insane. The kind of people where they cause like, you know, an earthquake or a, what do you call it? Avalanche happens and they're like trying to survive.
Yeah. I saw one of those videos yesterday on, I forget if it was Instagram, of a guy that was like outrunning an avalanche while he was skiing. And he was like still doing like flips because I don't even know. It's just like, I don't know if it's like in his DNA. It's like, I have to do a flip. I mean, I'm already here. Got to look good. Someone's filming me.
No.
Yeah. All right. So what did you play this week, Tim?
Good transition. Great. I played. Very smooth. I talked about it last week when you guys were gone, but I've been playing BioShock 2, I think the last 3 weeks, and I finished the story on that. And yeah, it's definitely not as like revolutionary as BioShock 1, but it's funny. The twist, I'm going to spoil BioShock 2.
It's all right. It's a 13-year-old game almost.
Yeah, so, well, I'm giving people fair warning because before I start saying anything, because if you really don't want BioShock 2, you know, you can fast forward 5 minutes or just shut it off or whatever. But, and Spencer, have you beaten BioShock 2?
Mm-hmm, I have.
Okay, so the twist, if you want to call it that, is that everything you did throughout the game through, I think, three or four little inflection points decides the ending. And I did not Google it. I did not use any guides or anything. So if you kill or let live a certain amount of characters throughout the story based on the how things played out, you get the good or bad ending. So I actually got the best possible ending. And what's funny is one of the inflection points is like this guy that turned into a monster that's inside of a tank, and you need to like trick him into coming to the front of the tank so you can inject him and take a sample of him and use it to make a key card or whatever. And so as soon as that happens, the voice in your head is like, okay, let's go. And you start to leave the room. And I just faintly out of the corner of my headphones heard like the guy keep talking. And I went back and he's like, yeah, can you please put me out of my misery or whatever? And I'm like, okay. And then eventually a little button popped up yellow after he finished talking, and you could electrocute the tank and kill the beast monster thing in the tank. I think a lot of people wouldn't have got the best possible ending without a guide, because that you actually have to stick around a really long time for that button press to become an option. Like the story is like, hey, we have what we need, let's get going. And it really pushes you out of the room. So you had to physically like stay there for a solid minute or two to do that. So I actually just out of coincidence happened to do that and got the best ending.
Like that vaguely sounds familiar.
But the best ending was also kind of tame. It's just like you die and then the little sister that you were paired with long ago takes your essence out of the Big Daddy and puts it inside of her. And then she stares off into like a bright sun looking at a lighthouse.
Oh, yeah. So, wasn't that kind of the twist about that game, is that you're a Big Daddy, or do you know that from the beginning? I do
that. You know that at the beginning, but that was like their I don't know how they made BioShock 2 slightly different, but really you just had a couple of different abilities and guns and that was it. Like you still use plasmids And you were also, again, I played Bioshock 2 split up over multiple like years. So like, I don't remember the beginning as well as I remember the end, but I think there was also something where
start to finish, like in 2019, about 4 years ago, it was spring of 2019. So yeah, I have vague memories.
So I think that there was something going on with your character before the events of the game, and they wiped your mind and made you a big daddy to cover that up. And I don't know what it was. But then, like, what I really thought was cool is that you have to, like, save your little sister, who is now an adult. And then the coolest part is she puts on a big sister costume and fights alongside you, and you have a plasmid to call her in, and she comes in the suit. And so it's like a big sister and a big daddy, like, fighting together. So I know Bioshock 2 isn't that popular, but it did have little moments of brilliance. Like, that stuff I thought was cool. And, yeah. I'm glad I finally got to it after all these years, because I played them in the wrong order. I played 3-1-2, which is the way no one played it. But
that's
me.
Exactly what I did.
That's funny.
And
so
was the first one that I played.
I'm not done yet, though, because I did play the Burial at Sea and all the DLC for the third game, and I don't think the first game had any. My whole process of getting through all this was to play Minerva's Den, which is considered to be a top tier DLC of video games in general. So I started Minerva's Den, but I haven't gotten very far in it because I was like, okay, I played a ton of Bioshock. I'm going to take a break for a minute. But as soon as I finish Minerva's Den, I will be done with all Bioshock content, which is also timely because now I'll be ready for, what's his name? The auteur that made Bioshock 1 and 3. Well, his next game, Judas, comes out in the next year, 2, 3. And that is obviously Bioshock inspired. But there's also a little Bioshock in a recent release, Atomic Heart. So this Russian developed
segue.
Game. I know. Beautiful, right? With the glove, the magic glove thing you have on your left hand with abilities kind of plays like a plasmid. So the recent controversy is Ukraine is at their Ministry of whatever, Arts and Sciences, something like that, is asking Steam, Xbox, PlayStation to ban Atomic Heart because it was developed in Russia and they think some of the money is being funneled back to the Russian government. I don't know anything about that. And I technically didn't pay for it. I'm just playing it on Game Pass. So I don't know if I'm supporting them or not, but I don't know that I feel I would protest by not playing Atomic Heart anyway. I just think these are developers that made a game that happened to live in Russia and are getting screwed by their government. But politics aside, there's some interesting things about this game. First of all, I find some of the humanoid robots, the ones that have like faces, horrifying. They look like baby dolls that were played with Sid from Toy Story. Like, their eyes don't have eyelids and they're just like giant white eyes with a dot in the center. Very off-putting. The graphics are really good, but the game takes a really long time to let you play. Like, I swear it's probably a solid 30 minutes that you're just, all you can control is the camera, and you're kind of like on rails, just being kind of immersed in the environment and the story until you finally get to take over. And once you take over, I don't know if I've played an hour or an hour and a half. I've probably played an hour or less. And again, I'm not deep into this at all. I have yet to get a gun. So all I have is my glove so far. So I don't know how far until I get a gun, or I might have gotten a gun right when I saved and stopped playing. But it just felt like the game took a really long time to get me involved in the action. And it was almost it's too slow. They needed to do the exposition and the world building while I'm actually doing something, because it's kind of boring to just sit there and walk around and walk some more and walk some more. The most annoying instance is I had to go to a building, go up an elevator, talk to a character for like 10 seconds, and then go back down the same elevator and back outside. And it felt like they were trying to hide a loading screen with this elevator or something, but it was just so pointless, the elevator. Why didn't they just put them on the first floor so that I didn't have to do this elevator twice, 10 seconds apart? But it's cool. It's cool how they mix the retro future aesthetic. I guess it's set in like 1955, but in a very technologically advanced Russia that has all kinds of cool like cyborgs and technology and stuff that we would even think of as futuristic today, but mix that with like a 1950s aesthetic. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. It's getting okay reviews, so it seems like it's okay, like not a revolutionary game, but it's decent. So I will spend some more time with it, and I'm sure I'll talk about it in the weeks to come. The other two things I played this week are pretty uneventful. I played some Rocket League, and I specifically downloaded Rocket League to my Series S to play with my kids, because my kids are a little over 3 years old, and they've had very little exposure to anything besides educational games like Matching and ABCs and stuff like that on like a phone. And they know that when I play video games, they can hit the A button to help me jump. So sometimes when I play stuff, they'll jump. And so my character will just be constantly jumping, and they'll do that button for me. But I was trying to introduce them to using the controller themselves. So I thought Rocket League was a great option because it's very simple, right? The car drives forward, backward, left, right, steer, and there's boost and jump. And so they drive the car around and they jump and they boost, and it was pretty simple. So I just put them in a offline match with the ball, and I let them kind of play around to get a feel for the controller. So we're easing into simple video games that are age appropriate. Another one I thought might be a good fit is the League of Super Pets movie has an adaptation game that's on Game Pass, and it's basically an on-rail shooter where you just like are controlling Crypto as he flies and you click coins. So you really just are moving something around the screen. Very easy for a toddler to work on their hand-eye coordination in a very age-appropriate way. But getting the kids into video games, and you know, both as a learning educational thing with their dexterity, but also because it's something they can do with dad that dad likes. And then finally, Forza Horizon 5. Spencer, after you had told me you finished the Hot Wheels expansion, I, for some reason, that just triggered something in me that I wanted to play Forza. So I went in there and I had like 10 million credits. And so I just went into the store and started buying cars like crazy. Any cool car that I didn't own that was under $1 million, I was like, I'm buying it. And I just went on a spending spree. And then I did a bunch of the street races, because remember they added Midnight Battles like 6 months ago? I never finished doing all the Midnight Battles, so I'm working my way through those, but that's neither here nor there. That's not really super interesting. And that's it for me this week. I feel like I had a pretty eventful week. I actually played other games that aren't even worth talking about, but that's where I'm at. What about you? What'd you get up to? I'm most interested in Hogwarts, but I know you played a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, so Hogwarts was more kind of the beginning of the week, or really the end of last week, or last week since I wasn't on the show. And then I was traveling over the weekend and then was gone pretty much all this past week until Friday morning. But speaking of Hot Wheels, I did finish the Forza Horizon 5 Hot Wheels expansion. Part of the reason for that was just, obviously, we'll talk about later, the announcement of the second DLC was finally made. We kind of had been talking about that for, feels like, months. Every now and then to be like, oh, when are we going to learn about this? Well, we finally did. So that kind of inspired me to finish that. I got to the elite tier, and pretty much the only challenges left in that are beating, rivals mode stuff that I'm just not going to bother with. I forgot about, though, the Midnight Battles thing, because I haven't even done a single one of those.
When you beat those, you get the car of your opponent.
Yeah, I should look into that, because I don't even know what the cars are that you get, if any of them are worth it.
Well, the first one was like a 1971 Mustang, either a Boss or a Mach 1. I think it was a Mach 1. So it was a cool classic Mustang.
Yeah. None of them are like unique cars, are they? Like they're cars that are already in the game, probably.
I think they're unique. I think this is the only way to get them. I think they were newly added when that happened. But the way to get them is, I think you have to do either 3 or 5 street races. And then once you do 3 or 5, it unlocks a Midnight Battle. And then you got to do 3 to 5 more, and then it unlocks another one, and another one, another one. Gotcha. And I think that goes until you've done 20 or 25 street races.
Gotcha. So I finished that. It was cool because you get the new Hennessy Venom at the end for completing, I forget what elite tier challenge it is. I think maybe it's like driving on all the roads. Like it's not even that hard of a challenge in the Hot Wheels world. And that car is very fast. It goes 300 miles an hour, which is pretty sweet. I think maybe the Koenigsegg Jesko also goes 300 or 305, something like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. You just kind of keep, it's so crazy, man, when you're driving cars like that, where it's like you're at like 220 and the numbers are still just like zipping by really fast and you just keep going. Whereas like most cars, I feel like a lot of like you know, Ferraris, McLarens, you know, whatever, like the kind of, you know, the biggest names, the Lamborghinis, all those, they kind of, you know, usually top out around 200, 220, something like that, because they're not necessarily meant for just straight up straight line speed. They're, you know, they're trying to be balanced. But yeah, that car, man, you just, it just keeps going like 250, 260, 270, 280, 290, and then boom, 300.
So did you, have you, I think you have, because I know my wife sent us both one of them, but have you seen the videos of, it's either Instagram or TikTok, somebody doing a simulation of cars hitting a pylon at like 30, 60, 90, 100,
I've seen those,
all the way up to like 350 miles an hour. That's what that reminds me of. The one she sent me this week was a school bus. And when it goes like 300 miles an hour and hits the pylon, it just like, goes inside of itself.
There's a there's a guy on TikTok that he makes these like TikToks in physics engines of just cars doing stuff, or like things hitting them at certain speeds, like boulders getting dropped on them, or like car accident, you know, whatever the case might be. And it's pretty interesting. But yeah, so that was kind of the one thing that I finished yesterday, on Saturday. And then I was trying to finish High on Life so that I can create some internal storage space so that I can download either Atomic Heart or something else. I haven't decided yet if I want to play Atomic Heart, because it kind of is getting mixed. What I'm seeing is a little mixed as far as if I would actually enjoy it, because it seems like it's pretty challenging of a game, and there's very long combat sequences from what I've been kind of reading about it. So
I can tell you just from the first hour and a half, whatever I played, that for the world building alone, you'd probably love it.
Probably. I mean, I think there's things about it that I would like, but
I'm not to the heavy gameplay yet. So ask me in a week.
Yeah. I know I will finish High on Life this week. I've had like the boss of the cartel to kill, but then I've got like the last bounty before him, Nebulon or whatever his name is. Is like, that's all I have left to do. But yeah, man, that game, I think I would like it a lot more if the art style was different, because like the story is interesting enough and like the humor is funny and like just like the stuff that they do is kind of funny. But man, it's so off-putting, like the art style is. I love like the little, like you almost could call it like a side mission where you go to Applebee's, Space Applebee's, and then you can like order stuff and it's like actual things from the Applebee's menu. Like I was dying. Like that was hilarious.
I want to know, because they use the real menu, I wonder if they like, because he implied in an interview that they didn't ask Applebee's permission. But there's 0% chance of that. They use the actual logo and just put space in front of it.
Yeah.
And then they use real menu items. Like this was like the most...
Bahama Mama or the Long Island. I mean, technically they just called it a Bahama Mama and a Long Island iced tea and then something else, which those are just generic names anyway. But then it was like something crispy, boneless chicken wings, and then like the urban crusted like sirloin and like all these random things that like, maybe they're just slightly different from the menu, but they were close enough that I thought it was funny. Yeah. I Googled them. I was like urban crusted.
It has to be the most creative product placement.
Yeah.
It has to be.
So that was really funny. And then like immediately after that, like you're rescuing your character's sister and she like starts smoking a cigarette and you have Kenny with you. He's the only Gatlian that you have with you. And he's like, oh, what are you smoking there? What's your cigarette of choice or whatever? He's like, you smoking Camels? And then he like tries to say Marlboro, but he keeps like saying it wrong. And that was really funny. I recorded that because I thought that was funny, because he's like Marlboro. It was really funny. I can't really do it justice.
There's also a lot of like, if you go off into like little corners of the world and find characters that are just having like a really random, like hilarious dialogue. Wait, did you find the guy in the trench coat selling a jar of something? Yes. Did you hold on to the jar?
I didn't buy it from him.
Okay, go back and buy the jar and then hold on to it till the end of the game.
Okay, we'll see.
It's an achievement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny.
You need to hold on to that jar till the end.
Did you find, because one of his brothers you have to buy something from in a mission, and then he's the second brother, and there's a third brother. Did you ever find him?
I don't think so.
He's just selling like life insurance or something. It's really funny.
That's funny.
He's like, I didn't want to be like my brother selling, you know, these other things. I wanted to just be respectful. So he's like, I don't know if it's life insurance, but it's like something like insurance. Like, it's really funny.
Yeah. There's just like lots of little things like that. Or, isn't there a guy that you're talking to at one point and you turn around and he's just gone? Is though it's the bicycle. Have you had the thing with the bicycle yet?
I don't think so. Maybe I missed it.
So there's this somewhere in the main like world where your house is, there's a bicycle and you go up to it and a guy's like, "Hey, will you watch my bike? I need to go run an errand." And the thing is, it's programmed to where the bike will stay there as long as you're looking at it. And the second you turn the camera away from the bike, it disappears. So like you wait a really long time and nothing happens. So you're like, oh, that was the end of it. And you walk away. But then the second you turn the camera away, he'll come back and be like, where's my bike? And you turn around and it's not there. And it's I forget funny. What happens after that, but it's just really funny. Like there's just so many little like hilarious moments like that. Or like the two guys to get down into the slums. Where yeah, one yeah. of them blocks his door and the other one doesn't. And then for the rest of the game, one of them is salty with you and the other one's like, oh, come on in.
Yeah.
Just a lot of little humor that is either hit or miss. And it, for me, it hits on most of it, which is funny.
Yeah. Like I said, I think if the art style wasn't so like disturbing, I think I would like this game a lot more.
You don't like cracked out Care Bears?
Yeah, well, that or just like the guns. Like I got Creature. Yeah, and he's like, I love what he does, but it's also like very disgusting looking.
What's he say? Let me do it.
I don't know. I just know
let's
that.
Let's do like, it. Let's do it.
I just. Oh no, that's like the next gun. That's the fifth one.
Oh, let's which do one's it. Creature? Is he the one that makes his babies?
Yeah, yeah.
I used like, him a ton.
Yeah, he's very overpowered. Like I literally took out a bounty like completely just by using him, and then switching to. Gus and shooting out like his blades because those are also overpowered.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it is a really weird idea though, like talking guns but also having them look like living very disgusting organisms.
Well, some of them aren't as bad, like Kenny's fine, and the Needler, the coked up Needler guy is fine, but
this is not a spoiler. Rip Kenny, because the actor that played Kenny is gone. So I'm sure in the next game he'll be replaced by somebody named Kenneth, voiced by a different
That'd
character.
Be funny.
It would be hilarious. Hi, I'm Kenneth. I have nothing to do with my brother.
He's got like a British accent.
Matt previously. Yeah, that would be great. Maybe it's Kenneth, but it's a girl.
Yeah. So yeah, that I'll finish that this week, hopefully. And oh, I know I will, because I want to have it done and off my hard drive. And then
you suddenly started sounding really weird. Like your mic is like inside of your face.
It's weird.
There, that's better. I think it's because the capsule's there on the front and you're talking over it.
Maybe, yeah. I have not played Hogwarts in probably a week or more, just because I was gone. So I can talk more about that next week. I mean, it's really good. Like, I would definitely recommend it so far. I've played like, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours of it, maybe.
I saw it sold. It's up to 12 million sold in 2 weeks,
which is pretty crazy. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's trending ahead of Elden Ring, which was, I think, the second best game last year selling next to Modern Warfare. Yeah, and so it's on track to be definitely in the top three games this year if it continues. So it seems like that boycotting really worked out well for the boycotters. It's really working.
Yeah, so it's really fun. I mean, I have enough spells now that like I can, you know, chain together combos, which is really how combat is supposed to go, is chaining together various spells to kind of keep your enemies off balance. Like there are some spells that are designed to do certain things against certain enemies. Like there's certain enemies that are like you have to use like Levioso against them, or you have to use Levioso. I forget what the other one is. I forget what the other one, other common combat one is, but or anyways, like there are certain spells you have to use because an enemy is like weak to that basically. But otherwise you chain them together. There's like 3 or 4 combat spells that are pretty solid. Some of the exploration related spells are cool. Like there's one that makes you invisible. They talk about how like the cloak is the best way, like from the movies, obviously, like Harry Potter, the movies, he has a cloak that allows him to be completely invisible. And so they say like in the game, they're like, this is the next best thing, because like you're not completely invisible, but you're invisible enough. I'm trying to think like what else. Yeah, so it's cool. I mean, definitely, obviously, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you definitely already have this game. But if you're somebody that's on the fence, I'd recommend it. The story, like, honestly, like, the story to me, like, hasn't really been the big kind of selling point. It's more just been like the experience, which I've had a lot of fun with. It seems like a fairly big open world ish, like outside of Hogwarts itself. And then Hogwarts, of course, is like insanely detailed and very complex and a lot going on there. So yeah, we'll see. I'll definitely have more to say about it later, you know, when it's more fresh in my mind and when I've played more. I did play on the cloud again this week since I was out, or I was gone, didn't have my Xbox, played some of the Skywalker Saga, played a few missions of that. Eventually I will beat that game, but it's so far on the back burner. It won't be anytime soon. And then Age of Empires 2 and Crusader Kings still work pretty well on the cloud. No real complaints. I mean, there's a little bit of a lag from time to time or like screen tearing, but it's few and far between, such that it's not a big deal. And those are definitely two games that I would recommend for cloud gaming, just because of kind of their slower pace. And they're obviously not like online, like you're not playing other people, so like you're not really at any risk of paying or issues like that. So yeah.
Tim, so
clickety clacking away on his mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, I'm messaging Gus because Gus left his phone at home.
Yeah, and he just texted me.
Yeah, so we couldn't reach him to record, and we always record it. We have two slots we kind of record in, and I reach out with the guys and say, hey, which one works better this week? And I never heard back because Gus, I apparently forgot his phone at home. So actually, Spencer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause right here and I'll click stop and we'll just get Gus in here and then we'll pick right back up in a few minutes. But for the audience, it'll be instantaneous. And we're back. And guess what? Surprise, he's not joining us because as soon as we thought we were getting him in here, he's like, oh no, I can't. I got to go take groceries to somebody. So that was a huge waste. Thanks, Gus. Thank you, Gus. When you hear this, you made this 10 seconds.
Brought to you by Kroger. Probably. Who knows?
Oh yeah. I swear, didn't I message him like hours ago about what time we were recording? So doesn't that mean he didn't have his phone on him for like 3 hours?
Oh, which good for you, man. That's a vibe. You messaged us at 11:54, so it was 2 hours of heads up, which I feel like is fair.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And I mean, to his credit, we do record at the other time slot more often than this time slot, but this is the earlier slot, which is nicer because then it's done and gives me a little more leeway for post-production and editing and all that kind of stuff. So with that, we're going to go to the news. So it's a great news week, I think. A lot of stuff that we as a cast are very interested in. I'm going to lead off with Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which had its first proper reveal of like the full scope of gameplay in the Sony PlayStation State of Play event. What's even funnier is they let it off with like VR2, PlayStation VR2 stuff. Then they had a couple of games and then they finished with 15 minutes of Suicide Squad gameplay and I don't know, developer commentary. And this is getting blasted online as not good. And I'm kind of in agreement with some of the sentiments. So I'll talk through it all since I've done a deeper dive on this. And Spencer, I know you've seen the trailer, so you can either jump in where you want to, or you can wait till I've finished my kind of rant, I guess, and then give me your thoughts. But first, the story looks awesome. I've said many times on the show, I'm very interested in the idea of the Justice League being the villains. I think that is really cool because the Justice League is so overpowered and they're always so omnipotently like good. Having them be the villains and be mind controlled and just completely evil is a cool idea, and I like it. Flash and Wonder Woman are in the trailer and I thought they were awesome. The Flash is the villain and Wonder Woman, either we don't know, but either she was already broken from Brainiac's hold or she was never put under his control because she's fighting alongside the Suicide Squad. Well, not alongside. She comes in kind of at the end. We also saw Lex Luthor, who was trying to be kidnapped, and that's who they were trying to rescue. So, story looks awesome. Graphics, another high point. The character models look amazing. The city and the detail of Metropolis, I think, looks awesome. The fact that we're getting this set in the Arkhamverse game universe, but through a different lens with Metropolis, which is a much brighter place, a lot of Superman imagery in the city, just an entirely new, more like modern aesthetic. I think that is really cool also. So those are some positives. Some negatives. So we saw this through that one leak a few weeks ago, but the game does have gear score. So the gear you pick up has a score, and your goal is to get stronger through a higher gear score as you progress, which makes a little bit of sense because it's a shooter at its heart, which I did not realize this game was going to be so much heavily a shooter. So you do have guns that you're equipping and getting better guns and stuff. So I guess that makes it slightly make more sense, but it still feels weird. And then you also have like build crafting. So it kind of has like shooter plus ability build crafting, kind of like a mix between, it really feels like an unholy alliance of Destiny, The Division, and Marvel's Avengers, leaning heavily on Avengers, which is not great. It does have transmog though. So the way you look is different from the stuff you're equipping. So they showed some examples of that. They showed King Shark wearing a Superman costume, which was pretty funny. And they had Harley Quinn wearing a Wonder Woman costume. So those were both examples of equipping visuals that were not based on the gear you had equipped. So you could have both your best stats and your coolest looking gear on at the same time. It's 4-player co-op, which we knew, but I had forgotten. Some other surprises. There will be new playable characters after launch. We had never gotten any hint that there would be future playable characters, so that feels more like Marvel's Avengers. The battle pass for cosmetic items only. We knew that from that previous leak. And finally, movement. So Deadshot has a jetpack that can hover. Harley Quinn has a grappling hook that can kind of like swing like Spider-Man. Boomer has a Speed Force boomerang that he can use to teleport, which sounds hilarious spoken out loud. And King Shark, I don't know how he can move, but I guess he can jump really high. I didn't really catch in the trailer what his movement was based on. But what was weird is so much of the gameplay they showed was vertical. Like they showed like Deadshot jetpacking around and hovering while he shoots a gun, Harley swinging like Spider-Man, Boomer teleporting across rooftops. Like it definitely feels way, way different than the Batman Arkham games.
And King Shark like jumping super high.
Yeah, which reminded me of the Hulk. I really get Avengers vibes from this the more they're showing it. And that's not the most positive comparison. The note I put in our notes here is they're towing a line here that Avengers and Gotham Knights filled at. So they better be very careful. And then the next line I put, it's a shooter more than a melee game. So more than Batman, where you're comboing and punching, this is a shooter. Like every character is equipped with guns, and only King Shark really has his kit based around his abilities being close, like to punch and do things like that. He's definitely a tank character. This has me a little deflated. I said on Twitter, this could go bad. It could go well. It went bad for Avengers. It went bad, way worse for Gotham Knights. It's a live service game. So I'm curious who the new characters would be that they'll release after launch, if they'll do a better job of diversifying. And I don't know. It feels like this isn't a great move. That I'm also curious what the post content after you beat the story is going to be, right? If this is a live service game with new playable characters, they're going to have some sort of ongoing content, you know, like raids or big boss battles or something that you can do to continue grinding after the end of the game. Avengers had that, and, you know, Destiny has that. Gotham Knights did to some extent, but not as much as these other games. So I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting a shooter, and I wasn't expecting kind of this weird movement stuff. I kind of expected like Harley to play very similar to like Batman. I mean, she was a playable character in the DLC for Arkham Knight.
Yeah, and I remember that.
King Shark, you know, you expect him to be like a melee based character, not like a combo, like agility based character. You expect him to kind of play like a Bane type character. Deadshot would make sense for guns, but, and then Boomerang, like you expect him to like heavily rely on his boomerangs, not guns. That doesn't really fit with his character.
Doesn't King Shark have a minigun that he runs around with?
Well, I think they can all equip anything, but in the trailer, it was a minigun, yeah.
Because, like, you'd think that King Shark would be, like, because you'd think that he'd be, like, some sort of, like, Hulk Smash type character, or, like, he uses, I don't know, shark mouth to, like, rip things apart. That would be kind of cool and new and interesting and not like every other game. It is weird, like, Harley Quinn, like, swinging around like Spider-Man. Seems a little
that was
weird.
The one that felt the most off to me. Like, I can get that Captain Boomerang would steal his nemesis, the Flash's speed force tech, and combine it with his boomerang. I can get that Deadshot would have a jetpack that let him hover so he can shoot from the air.
Yeah, because he's like a tactical, technical dude. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, but Harley...
Harley went swinging around and King Shark being able to, like, jump and... It's very strange. I agree with you on what you said were the high points. Like, the story, I'm very interested in. Like, I want to know, like why is Wonder Woman not infected by this? Where's Green Lantern? Is he also not affected because of his willpower? Like, that was what we kind of speculated in the group chat.
Oh, yeah.
Was that maybe Green Lantern and Wonder Woman aren't affected by this. But Batman has super high willpower, but he's also just a human with no superpowers. So maybe that's why he kind of was controlled by Brainiac. But... yeah, so the story, very interesting. I'm curious. Like, it's much like Arkham or Gotham Knights. Batman is dead. Very interesting storyline. How did the kids pick up the pieces and save Gotham? Whatever. So we're already kind of like Gotham Knights in that respect. We have an interesting story. Graphically, I think it looks really good. Like you said, the characters look really cool. I like this version of. I think this version of Harley Quinn looks cool. The version of Wonder Woman looks cool. I feel like the Flash to me is so hard to nail down a look because it depending on what you first saw him as, to me, he's a character that like that's what you always picture in your mind. Kind of like Superman, like the very first version of Superman you ever saw in your mind is what Superman should look like. And so anytime successive things after that create the character or use the character, it's hard to kind of be okay with the style. Cause the Flash, I feel like never looks quite right in video games. I think he looks good in certain things but anyways,
I think he looks better in this than he did in, Injustice.
Well, yeah, that's probably fair.
Also, he is infected. So like his face and his eyes definitely looked off, but I thought he looked fine. Like so far, I think the one that looks the weirdest is Superman. He looks kind of generic.
Yeah.
Which you could make a case that Superman is generic from like he's just a wholesome American boy from Kansas.
A curl in his hair.
Yeah.
Black hair, white skin. Yeah. I don't know. It's Rocksteady, so you give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe more than you did WB Montreal or, you know, other studios that are branching out from their bread and butter. So like I guess you can give him that, but I'm not too thrilled with it kind of being a looter live service with the battle pass, like a costume battle pass or something,
yeah,
or a cosmetic battle pass. I mean,
in that
can you
regard,
buy all the cart can you buy in, all the cart
I'm sure that the stuff that's in the battle pass will be exclusive to the battle pass,
and
but also
that's worse than Gotham was what you're about to say.
Yeah, Gotham Knights didn't have a battle pass, so their game was just that because obviously they weren't going to sell enough to have support for post-launch. And then Avengers, they had these weird battle passes that were specific to each character. So you bought like their hero pass and it was
so
just
better than that.
A one-time thing.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of worse because this will be like season after season.
Well,
so
that's
if, like,
true.
You know, if like this, let's say the first season is, I don't know, New 52 themed. And then what if the third or fourth season is like Nightfall themed and you want like all the heroes to have like Nightfall stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. It all depends on the execution, right? Like, none of this stuff by itself means the game is bad. But Gotham Knights, all the things that we just laid out that are points of concern, they erred on the side of bad, right? Movement felt bad. Graphics and frame rate, bad. Story, okay. gameplay and combat.
They're doing better in a lot of respects.
I mean, yeah, there are points of worry, right? Like the movement. Is it going to feel bad that they've erred a little farther from the formula of the previous games? They could nail it. If it feels right, it's all in the execution. The gunplay, it might be fine. Though the biggest concern for me is the gear score thing.
Yeah, I hate that so much.
Because like, there's games where it's been fine. Like Division did okay with build crafting. Destiny obviously is completely built around that. But there's games where it absolutely ruined the game, like Ghost Recon Breakpoint. The gear score implementation in that game completely unneeded after the last game, and it made the whole game suck. And even when they took it out and made it an option, there was too many other problems with like movement and camera and story and loading and all kinds of other small decisions. So my point being, any one of these things, if they don't nail it, it could still be a good game. Gotham Knights did the wrong decision for almost everything, and there was very little left to redeem the game. This, if one of these things turns out to be the bad version of what we think is a caution item, it could still survive if they nail all the other stuff. And it all comes down to the execution. None of the stuff on the surface means the game is bad. And I'm not trying to defend it, because I think some of these are still bad decisions. But I'm a huge nerd for comic books, so I will play it regardless. I played Gotham Knights, even though it was absolute garbage. And in retrospect, I can recommend that, because I saw that whole game and can tell you it sucked. And so this one looks like a much better story, which that on the surface of it, that and the graphics already have me sold way more than Gotham Knights. And I actually am kind of excited there's post-launch characters, because I'm not that excited about the launch characters. Like the Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, I don't really like as a character, but Boomerangs is kind of a cool ability. And Harley Quinn is always, you know, she kind of steals any scene she's in. But I don't really care that much for King Shark. And Deadshot is kind of he's not a one-note villain, but he's not that exciting. So it'd be interesting to see what other characters they pull from. And if it's characters we've seen in either the CW DC Universe or the two Suicide Squad movies or the animated Suicide Squad movie, or if it's somebody new that hasn't been adapted into live action before. So I think there's a lot to pull from with Suicide Squad, more so than there was. Well, the Avengers fumbled theirs, right? Like they had a whole roster of Avengers and they just put out two people that do arrows, two people that are super soldiers, two people that are Thor, and the only new character was Black Panther. So, I mean, the bar is really low when you compare to Gotham Knights and Avengers, but I think we need games to stop chasing the live service dollars and the battle pass persistent money. But who knows? Maybe the publisher was like, look, you have to make this a revenue driver for years to come, or we're not going to fund your game. And you're going to work on a licensed game instead or something. Who knows how we got here, but my fingers are crossed. I will play it either way, and I will tell you what I think. So
yeah, I mean, I think it definitely looks better than Gotham Knights when you were watching kind of that early gameplay, or not early gameplay, but when you were looking at the preview stuff a couple months ahead of launch. Like, the combat looks better, I suppose.
It still does look generic, though.
Well, true.
It looks generic shooter. Like, that is the problem with the combat. But if it feels good, that, I mean, Gotham Knights didn't even feel good. It was generic. It felt bad. Like, everything about it sucked.
Yeah, and arguably the story is a little more interesting. So I think there's better signs compared to Gotham Knights with this game. But I won't be buying this until I see the reviews. So you can be sacrificial lamb.
This, by the way, is set 5 years after Arkham Knight. So they did reveal that. So we know where it is in the timeline, because obviously Harley was in that game. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any of these other characters were. And there are characters that are from the Arkhamverse in this game. Like Penguin is your gun, like gunsmith. Toy Man is also someone you partner with. And then there were two new characters that are other vendors that you can...
Trying to think, like, there aren't any other Justice League people or DC characters other than ones you named in the Arkham games. Like, that are in this, I mean, because obviously like Nightwing is in Arkham Knight for a second and some other guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends. Like if we see Robin, Nightwing, Poison Ivy, like any of the Batman universe characters in Metropolis, maybe. But really, I mean, if they're smart, they'll pull all of the characters from the game, from Superman and the other Justice League's rogue galleries, because the Batman rogue gallery has been mined now for 5 games, 4 of which were set in the Arkham universe, or 3, depending on who you ascribe to. As far as Rocksteady kind of doesn't consider Arkham Origins to be in their universe, even though WB set it up as a prequel. So there's kind of like a weird relationship with that game, but still, I doubt we see a lot of Batman universe characters, but yeah. Okay. Well, any final thoughts there before we move on to the next big topic for the week?
Nope. Covered it.
Okay. So you teased this one in our games we've been playing, but Forza Horizon 5 had its expansion number 2 revealed this week in a live stream on Twitch, and it's called Rally Adventure. Which I want to say on the outset, Rally Adventure is the most generic game they could give a Rally expansion. I don't know what I expected, but Rally Adventure, I guess it's kind of up there with some of the other ones that have been more generic, like Storm Island and what was the other one? There's one other
Blizzard
one.
Blizzard Mountain.
Blizzard Mountain. Yeah, they're just very factual. But Rally Adventure, I mean, they made a... You know, if you're going to call it Storm Mountain, why isn't it just Rally Desert? Like, you know, Rally Sahara, Rally...
Whatever the location is in Mexico where it's at, like north of the default game world, the Sierra Nueva Desert.
Nueva, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the Xbox Wire thing pulled up.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was going to, when I put that link in there, I was going to jot some notes down, but I had kind of it all fresh on my mind from watching it. So some cool things that they showed is you have a helicopter that follows you through all the races, and that's where your co-driver is. So they're watching you from the helicopter, and they do the calling out turns and upcoming stuff that in a mm-hmm. real rally race, you have someone in your car sitting passenger telling you that kind of stuff. And in addition to, I'm assuming, audio overlay, they also have the pop-ups like other rally games where it'll show you the type of terrain, whether you're going over like slalom bumps or a hill or whatever, and then the turn, left, right, hard turn, right turn, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you combine the, for example, if you're doing a hairpin right turn at the crest of a hill and you're going too fast, you know that your car is going to unload weight and lose traction as you crest that hill and not be able to turn. So you have to turn earlier and slow sooner so that you don't lose your traction coming over the crest of the hill if it's a hairpin. So those kind of decisions that you can do with that. So they built that kind of stuff into it. I will say this, like, I don't know that this... There's only so much you can do with racing games, right? Like, there's different types of terrain, and then you can do licensed stuff. Like, I'm glad this isn't like Funko Pop Forza Horizon 5.
Oh gosh.
Because that's what I was afraid of, is that it was going to be like a partnership with like Crocs or somebody to do some ridiculous thing. Because Lego and Hot Wheels, you can make a case, were pretty strong, but maybe a little outside of what, you know, hardcore racers want. But I would hate for them to take that even farther and like start partnering with like I said, like Funko Pop would be the worst one that I can think of that, you know, seems to be licensing with everybody these days. I mean, we had Gears Pop, obviously. They also showed a lot of new cars, and the hero car for the I don't know what you want to call it, the cover art for the Rally Adventure is the F-150 Lightning, which I think is pretty cool. The Lightning seems to be a really cool truck in general. So having that as your hero car and having a rally electric truck, I thought was pretty cool. It's going to have its own campaign, obviously. Its own new map, which, as you mentioned, is the Sierra Nueva. And I don't know what else there is to say about it. Like, the helicopter thing is new.
Mm-hmm.
They have like they say build your rally monster. Oh, I'm remembering now. My notes aren't in our show notes. I took them in messages to you guys because I was live narrating when this was happening. So see if I can scroll back far enough to find that. But there's two new things being added to the game. One is launch control. So being able to hold the e-brake and the gas to go into launch control mode and have it optimize the rev to where you launch with the maximum traction.
I wonder what they've changed, because they've had a launch control mode. Like, you can, like, if you switch to reverse, like the way I do it, you switch to reverse and then back to first gear while you have the brake held, and then you hold down the gas, and then it keeps your, instead of just revving all the way up, it keeps you at a specific, it keeps you at like 2000 RPM or whatever, and then you release the brake and then it's launch control.
I don't know. Maybe only certain cars had it. They talked about it being available on all cars going forward and that it was a new thing. But they also, they said they developed it alongside boost lag reduction. I forget what they called it, but basically it allows you to dump fuel into the engine when you don't need it to keep the turbo spun up, so that when you do need the turbo, it doesn't have to have the lag to wait for the turbo to spin up. Hmm. And so a couple of things you get with that. One, you get more torque when you need it because the turbo's already spun up. But also you get a lot of pops and fire from the exhaust because all that extra fuel burn off.
Maybe it's only if you're in manual. Like, now you can be in automatic, like, assist, you know, like, as I drive manual, not
that could be it, because I drive automatic most of the time. I only drive manual when I'm drifting. I switch into manual.
Yeah, that might be what it is.
I'm going back now to find my notes. Here it is. Yeah, anti-lag turbo option for cars with a turbo. Keeps the turbo spun up. Yeah, sorry, I already said that. They also added launch control. Let's see if I have any other details. There's a new radio station. They're bringing back Epitaph Records from Forza Horizon 3 with a bunch of like punk rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's punk rock. And that also will be available to people that don't own the expansion. That's just a new radio station being added. I think that's everything from like a high level. Oh, the release date, March 29th, 2023. So we got about a month from now. You can get it with either the most expensive edition of the game or with the premium add-ons bundle. If it's on Game Pass, you can buy the bundle separately, which is what Spencer did. I bought the version of the game that came with this, so it'll be included for me. I am excited that it's not another like licensed tie-in, because I like when they do Hot Wheels or Lego or whatever. I like the other expansion to be something more grounded. I kind of wish there was a more emphasis on like drifting, like not drifting, but you know how like rally is. There's mm-hmm. like a drift component in the loose terrain that almost feels differently than the dirt racing. So I'm curious how that's going to affect things, because there is the whole dirt
probably
series.
Sharper turns, if I had to guess.
Oh yeah, that's a great thing you point out, because they did talk about how what this allowed them to do, since it's focused on racing, is they have a lot more less straightaway courses with a lot more turns, a lot more sharp turns. And then they also talked about how this lets them do a lot more elevation changes, because in the base game, you're more concentrated on, you know, braking optimally and entering, you know, the corner at the optimum line and exiting to keep your speed up. But in rally, there's also a component of looking at your elevation, because if you're going over like bumps and stuff, you have to know when your car is going to crest a bump and unload the weight on the wheels and lose traction and lose efficiency and lose the ability to corner and take that into account. So it seems like this is going to be a much crazier course with all the focus on the different types of rally. There's also, you join a team, and I guess there's going to be a series for pavement rally. There were three different kinds. There was like pavement rally, off-road rally, and some other kind of rally. Maybe it was sand rally. I didn't realize there was pavement rally. That didn't sound right
to
me.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Maybe it's like cool. Mixed surface is what they mean. Could be.
This avoided my two fears. My two fears were that they would do something like they did with the Porsche expansion, where it's just like, hey, here's a brand we've never had in the game before, and a couple of excuses to drive these cars, which is kind of a cop-out, in my opinion. The Porsche expansion, was that Forza Motorsport?
I think so. Sounds right. Yeah. There was a couple. It was Forza Motorsport and maybe like Forza Horizon 2 or something had that.
And to be clear, that was the only way to get Porsche in the game at the time, yeah, because they needed the licensing. They had to keep it as a separate DLC or blah, blah, blah. So that one, and then the other cop-outs have been...
Fast and Furious.
Well, like I said, that was a separate game, but like the Funko, doing something like Funko Pop, I guess, would have like taken it too far.
I guess technically, yeah, the Forza Horizon Presents Fast and Furious or whatever, that was like a standalone expansion for Forza Horizon 2. And then, yeah, Blizzard Mountain, I think that was Forza Horizon, was that 3 or 2? Maybe that was 2. I think Blizzard Mountain was 2, and then Storm Island was 3. And then
what was 4?
Four, because 3 was Storm Island and Hot Wheels. 4
was Lego and something else.
Yeah.
Can't I think of it? Oh, it was something mountain. It was the Extreme Mountain. It was like, you know, like all kinds of... it was like Storm Island, but not. Why can't I think of it? Man, these all blur together. Also...
Super 7. I forgot they had the cyberpunk vehicle in Forza Horizon 4.
I forgot that too.
The element. Yeah, I don't... Okay. I don't know why they have to make it so difficult. Formula Drift? No. James Bond, the Lego movie.
Those are updates, not...
Yeah, I know. I'm on it, but I'm confused. I don't...
Well...
I wish that they would... I wish Wikipedia would
Fortune Island.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was like the treasure hunting island.
Why am I not seeing that on here?
Which to me just felt like a new version of Storm Island. But what I was going to say is now a lot of the stuff that used to be expansions is just built into the game. Like there's parts of Mexico that there's, you know, they have like the dust storms in the Mexican map, and they have like snow peaked mountains in different parts of Forza Horizon 4 and 5. Whereas before that, Blizzard Mountain was Forza Horizon 3's expansion. Now there's snowy sections of those terrains. I will say, I think I'm using tires wrong in the game, because I think you're supposed to, like, I barely use, I think, the snow tires and the dirt tires and some of the more, I'm probably really bad about not switching my tires and not getting the best performance out of my cars because I'm using the wrong type of tires for the type of race I'm in.
There's not a lot of snow in this game, though.
No, there isn't. There is that one. Isn't there one little area, though, up on the highest peak?
I mean, whenever I have so many cars that, like, there are specific, like, Subarus, for example, that I'll put rally tires on, or there are specific SUVs that I'll put the off-road racing tires on, and those are just the cars that they stay on, because those are the ones I use for those races. But this could be cool. I mean, this is the first time Forza's ever done, like, real rally, where they're like, all right, telling you your turns up ahead, like you said, the change in terrain or elevation, things like that. So that's cool. I mean, they're coming for drift. They're coming for their, or not drift, dirt. They're coming for dirt, you know. One of their other, one of the things they haven't, you know, conquered as far as, because obviously Forza, I think most people would agree, is like the pinnacle of racing games right now. So if they can get rally, if they can nail rally, I mean, between all the things that Forza Horizon 5 has to offer, and theoretically motorsport, I mean, there, what else is there, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, there's like very niche, like go-kart racing or like funny cars or dirt track racing or NASCAR. Like, okay, sure. But like by and large, like they're checking all the other boxes. So that's pretty cool.
You know, another way they could have taken this is to expand into other types of vehicles. They could have done like a dirt bike expansion.
Well, true.
So, like, that would be another, like, twist.
Of the vehicles they're adding, I mean, a couple of them, obviously, the Lightning is cool. They're adding a Ford Focus rally car, which is neat. Some trophy trucks, things like that, some buggies. Not a whole lot of totally interesting things. I hope that I would be cool if they added the Raptor or the Bronco Raptor, because it has a Baja mode. Like, it's built with Baja racing, like sand, high-speed sand racing in mind. So, that would be a cool car to add. Obviously the Lightning is a pretty big time vehicle right now, a very popular and kind of hot vehicle. So that makes sense, but it'd be cool if they could do that. If they could add the Bronco Raptor, hello mascot Riley. But yeah, I guess I don't have much else to say. It looks cool. Yeah. I mean, on the Xbox Wire, or maybe on Forza. Yeah, I'm on Forza.net. I mean, they have pictures that make it look like you're going to be doing some pretty high speed driving, like the trophy truck. You're high speed driving over loose sand. Like, it's not just like a dirt track. Like, it's yeah. sand. So it would be cool if they could add that. I would like that.
Okay. Well, we can leave it there. It's not that far out. We'll be playing it a month from now. So, number three, this is a quick Activision Blizzard acquisition update. So there was a press, I don't know, it's not a press briefing, but there was some sort of like public thing in Europe where Brad Smith, the CEO president, whatever his title is, Microsoft, made some comments and announcements. And this is ahead of either the UK or the Europeans, organization reviewing the deal was having some sort of get together. Anyway, two big announcements. One is they signed a 10-year deal. They called it a, well, here, I'll just read it. Microsoft and Nintendo have now negotiated and signed a binding 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox, with full features and content parity, so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers enjoy Call of Duty. We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market. End quote. So my comment is, I hope you look forward to playing Call of Duty 2024 in 540p 60fps on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought too, is like, how is a Nintendo Switch going to run Modern Warfare 2?
I mean, it's just going to be super low resolution, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 30 FPS, but they might try and do 60 and just really cut the resolution. But I mean, you really can make, if you...
They're trying. They're really trying. They're like, listen, we're doing all of these things. Let us buy Activision Blizzard. Like, clearly, we're not going to sequester these games to Xbox or PC only. Like, literally, we are not. Like, Nintendo is getting them for sure.
Yeah, binding agreement, meaning we've committed. And also, I think part of it is, like, Call of Duty hasn't been on Nintendo for a while. But let's face it, the Wii U didn't sell well. So that caused a dip. And the Switch is now the best-selling console, basically. So it's I think, what is it, number three bestseller of all time, only behind the PlayStation 2 and something else.
Wii? Didn't the Wii sell really well?
Yeah, it might be the Wii. The Switch has now outsold the PlayStation 4. That's where we're at. So there's a huge market there for Microsoft to make money on it anyway. They just, you know, they're going to have to...
They're going to have back like five versions of it. You're going to have your Xbox One, your Series version, your PS4, your PS5, your Switch. Heck, Xbox One. They're going to make a Game Boy version. It doesn't say, it just says Nintendo players. Like, it doesn't say...
Yeah, well, I think that's implying that if they launch a new console, that the new console.
Yeah, a new Game Boy. The new Game Boy is going to come out.
Well, that's true.
And they're going to make Call of Duty Game Boy version. Although
Nintendo just made their whole console a Game Boy.
That's true. We had Call of Duty World at War on the Wii when I was in high school, and it was pretty bad compared to the 360 version.
Beats to their own drum. The other half of this announcement was Microsoft struck a very similar deal for 10 years, I believe it was, also to bring Xbox, to bring first-party games to GeForce Now, including Activision Blizzard games if the acquisition goes through. So this one is slightly broader in that it isn't just Call of Duty, but they're basically making all of their first-party games available on GeForce Now to play via their like cloud PC servers, which their statement was, basically, any adoption of the cloud helps all players at this point in the game, because like if people play GeForce Now and they play Xbox games through that, they first of all, they still have to buy the game to play it on GeForce Now. And second of all, it just is good for adoption of the cloud overall, which will drive Xbox cloud usage. But like I said, they still have to buy the game on Steam, so, or Windows Store. I'm not sure if Windows Store works on GeForce Now, but this was something I introduced Spencer to. Like, I don't know, a month ago, I was like, hey, did you know you get it? Yeah, this is where you can get a PC server for free.
I used it like a year ago, more than a year ago. Oh, a little bit. When I tried to stream, well, not try, I did stream Crusader Kings 3.
I thought it didn't support Crusader Kings 3. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game I looked up. Well, anyway, I don't really have anything more to say about this. I continue my stance of I don't care if this goes through or not at this point. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
Next. Number four, Battlefield single player. EA DICE is building a new team to support the next developer of the single player, which is Ridgeline Games, which is being led by Marcus Leto, the co-creator of Halo, I think, or co-creator of Master Chief, I think is his technical like credit. But
Halo.
Yeah, he did something for Halo back in Halo 1 days. Oh, okay, you're correcting me. I thought you were just
generic. Yeah, he was the Halo co-creator.
He has his new studio he's heading for EA called Ridgeline Games that's working on a single-player experience for Battlefield.
Battlefield Bad Company 3, baby, let's go.
Is now standing up a team to also support them and work on that as well. So no big update there except for that that's coming. I think I'm kind of over Battlefield at this point. I play less and less multiplayer games. And
I
played the story if it came back.
All I can say is every now and then I'll see Battlefield 1 things, whether that's on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And everyone is always like, man, this was the absolute peak of Battlefield. And it has been a straight cliff since then. Nothing has been even close to how good that game was. Not just the story, but like multiplayer, like it's multiplayer stuff. Like the story was fine, but the multiplayer was incredible in that game. Like, I agree. That was the peak of Battlefield. Yeah, I'm interested if it's like a single player focused type of experience. Like we've talked about a lot on the show, the things that made Battlefield Bad Company really good and even the Battlefield 1 campaign pretty good were just the giant maps. Like you don't have to have 20 missions and this globe-trotting story like Call of Duty. You know, you can have a handful of missions that are tailored, that are, you know, finely manicured large maps with lots of vehicles, random objectives to accomplish and things like that. And it'll be, if you execute it well, that's a very good game. Those games were a lot of fun. And I think there's definitely room for them in today's space. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, 2042 and Battlefield 5 are not good. So I'm kind of with you, Tim, a little bit in that way. But I still have hope that there's good Battlefield out there again someday.
Yeah. This next one, I guess, is mostly for me. I'm not sure, Spencer, your interest, but there is a recent rumor that Metal Gear Solid 3 is going to be announced at E3 alongside a Castlevania remake. Which I am just mostly excited for the return of Metal Gear Solid, and I hope it's done competently. I think I mostly would like them to remake Metal Gear Solid 1. But it also had the most like touch-ups and remakes over the years because it was had like a GameCube adaptation, and I can't remember if there was another one. It might just be that one, but that was called the Twin Snakes, I believe. And I don't know, it the original Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2 feel pretty dated if you try and go back and play them now. Metal Gear Solid 3 slightly less so, but basically all of those PS1, PS2 era Metal Gear Solids feel pretty old by today's standards. So it'd be interesting to see those remade with like modern controls and sensibilities, especially since Metal Gear Solid 5 was so good. There's stuff to lift from there, although those games were not open world, so it'd be a different thing. But it's weird to start with Metal Gear Solid 3, in my opinion. I know it's first in the timeline, which I guess could make sense.
Peacemaker was the first one in the timeline.
I actually don't know.
Or Peace Walker, not Peacemaker.
I never play Peacemaker. I never finished Peace Walker, and I don't really remember where it's
I just know it was PSP, and I played like 20 minutes of it, and I was like, yeah, this is really bad.
Well, they ported it to Xbox 360, compat, but it's so hard to play because you walk like 10 feet, and then it has to load a new area. Then you walk, you know, through one little tiny environment and it has to load another area. And it feels ridiculous by anything but PSP standards.
I would 100% play a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake because people love this game. I've never played it, but people are always like, this is the best Metal Gear Solid. It's always either this one or two that people say are the best. But usually I feel like it's three that people really love.
Man, there's things about each one that I find really special. Like, one started it all for the Metal Gear Solid formula, 2 had the like hard twist of Raiden, but it also had some really cool interactions with how Raiden and Snake fit together. And 3, obviously a prequel, much more, it was the last of that generation of games, so it had more development advancements. The what's frustrating is 4 being trapped on PS3, that it never was ported anywhere and may never, because that one I feel like could benefit the most from running on a modern engine or a modern hardware without even needing a full redesign like some of the other ones. And then obviously 5 was so good as well. So honestly, I have a hard time picking my favorite because there's just things I love about each of them. And they all have such memorable like boss fights and characters. And I feel like Metal Gear Solid's never going to be the same without Hideo Kojima. I feel like when we eventually do get a Metal Gear Solid 6, that it's just going to be almost like an entirely new franchise. Just, and it's not that Hideo Kojima is the only person that mattered that worked on those games, but he definitely had a overarching influence that defined what those games were. So, but yes, I will play this. If it comes out, I will definitely play it. Also, the rumor is that they're using this as a test bed, and if Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake sells well, that they would go back and remake 1 and 2 as well. So I would want to see that if the game is good.
Yeah, I agree. But the other part of this kind of rumor post was that there's potential Castlevania remakes floating out there waiting to be announced, which, depending on the Castlevania game, I would be interested, just because that's a series that I know is very beloved that I have very little to no experience with. Like, I've watched the anime on Netflix, and I've played a couple of the... I played Symphony of the Night when it was on, like, arcade, Xbox Live Arcade, a million years ago. But that's basically it. So I would be interested in what a sort of modern remake for that... Which one of those games? Probably Symphony of the Night. I mean, that's the most famous one, and probably the one that would be the most well received to remake. So I would be interested to see how that goes.
Number 6, Mortal Kombat 12 was announced in their quarterly earnings call. So WB, and I guess the merged company, isn't it HBO WB Discovery? What are they calling the new merged company? Warner Brothers Discovery, is that the name? I think that's it.
I don't know.
Anyway, they had their quarterly earnings, and obviously it was pretty rough. You know, they had been doing cost cutting stuff because of the merger. I guess you get 1 year to shed a bunch of stuff and not have to pay taxes or get a tax write off extra or something. And so one of the things they wanted to highlight in their thing was upcoming games that they expect to be highlights for money, because they also announced at the same time Hogwarts was doing so well. So obviously with a big jump in revenue coming from Hogwarts, they're wanting to be like, oh, look what else we're doing in gaming. So they talked about Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League coming in May, and then Mortal Kombat 12 coming in 2023, which was the first time that we knew that that was happening in 2023. So all the news articles after that were like, Mortal Kombat 12 lazily announced or side announced at a earnings call. I don't know that I have anything else to add. I'm not a Mortal Kombat player. Gus is our resident player of Mortal Kombat 11, so he would probably have the most to say, but I'm not even sure if he's interested. He seemed like he liked Mortal Kombat 11 a lot, so I don't know why he wouldn't want to play Mortal Kombat 12.
Didn't they also not say anything about Gotham Knights?
That is also hilarious. They didn't even mention it. They didn't say anything.
It sold 2 million copies, but it was reviewed terribly.
But they also didn't say, like, it underperformed, or, like, it performed well but was critically panned. They just said absolutely nothing.
Not a word.
Yikes. But also, this was a pretty rough earnings call from them, it seemed like, so I didn't listen.
Hey, we canceled Henry Cavill as Superman, the one good thing that we have, because our creative director wants to go in a different way. Dumbest thing ever.
I still wonder if he's going to come back, because they've shown an interest in keeping Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa, and maybe Gal Gadot around. Is it Gadot or Godot?
I don't know. I don't really care either, to be honest. Speaking of ill-conceived and potentially poorly executed films in the DC universe, with big time actors that rub everybody the wrong way from what it sounds like. I watched Black Adam on my flight out to my destination last week. And as I told Gus and Tim, you know, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting. It wasn't good. I'll never watch it again. The fact
it's perfectly fine. The fact that entertaining movie.
The fact that there was no tie-in with the Shazam sequel or anything like that still baffles my mind. And the CGI rock face on a smaller man's body was hilarious. And the Superman tease at the end was amazing and very, and like we were just saying, very sad that it won't probably end up with anything or, you know, come to anything, considering obviously Henry Cavill's in the wind and The Rock seems to also now be in the wind as far as continued participation in DC projects. So
it kind of stinks because the villain of the Shazam 1 movie was supposed to be Black Adam. You can even tell that in the story because it's like my previous champion, blah, 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 betrayed me and whatever. Like that was Shazam in that story. And they changed it in production, pre-production, because The Rock had negotiated his way into getting his own film. And in retrospect, I kind of just wish Black Adam had gone up against Shazam, even though that's kind of the trope of superhero origin stories is they go up against their identical, you
but
know,
opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Ant-Man versus Yellow Jacket, Iron Man versus Ironmonger. I don't know.
Superman versus Lex or what's his name? Jor-El in Man of Steel. Or not Jor-El.
Man, you're way off.
What is his name?
General Zod.
Yeah, Zod. Holy cow.
Yeah, and like over half the MCU movies are this way, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't know. It's a very complicated situation because, like, you know, the thing with the MCU that's poisoned a lot of people that watch these movies is they're always waiting for like the crossover, or they're always waiting for the tease of the next character, or they're always waiting for kind of another comic book character to appear, you know, like it's infected with Star Wars because Star Wars, it's always like with the Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett, it's always like, all right, where's Ahsoka going to pop up? Or like, where's Mando going to show up? Like people were watching the Book of Boba Fett and they're like, all right, where's Grogu? This is boring. And I feel like that is because of how Marvel has done things the last 10 plus years with all of their characters coming in and out of the films, like the standalone films. And, you know, DC tried to do that with the original Justice League movie and without having any background. And we all know that was terrible. And so it's hard with like a standalone Black Adam movie. You're like, okay, yeah, this is cool. This is fine. But I feel like in the back of your mind, you're always like, all right, the stakes aren't that high because like Superman would show up or somebody would show up, you know, Wonder Woman would show up. And so it's kind of like, all right, once we're done with Black Adam, then we can move on to the sequel where he shows up with Shazam, or, you know, he shows up with another, you know, like I said, insert DC character here, which is also part of my problem while I was watching it. Cause I admit, like, especially with the superhero films, it's like, okay, yeah, this is Ant-Man 3, Ant-Man and Quantumania, whatever it's called. But like, I'm expecting there to be like half a dozen other prominent comic book characters.
Well, except for they're stuck in the quantum realm, so it kind of makes sense that nobody else.
Well, true. That's a bad example, but like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. Thor, Love and Thunder.
Kang is in it, as is MODOK. So like there are like other MC or Marvel characters that end up finding their way into it. So it's kind of like, okay, this is what I expected. So it's tough, I feel like, anymore with these origin films to like really nail them, because I think so many people are like just waiting for like the payoff. Like they're waiting for more than just, this is how Black Adam got his start, or, you know, this is how Shazam, this is how Billy got his powers, you know.
So Henry Cavill as Superman appeared in 3 movies, 4 with the cameo in Black Adam, but his character, the DC Universe Superman, appeared in 6. So Henry Cavill's Superman appeared in 2 places played by a different actor, because he was in, remember, the post-credit scene of Shazam as well at the lunch table.
Yeah.
And he was also in the final episode of Peacemaker, which if you haven't watched, did you watch Peacemaker?
No.
Is it Peacemaker or is it Peacekeeper?
Peacemaker.
How do I not know? I watched the whole series. That's whatever.
The one
anyway.
John Cena? Yeah, that's Peacemaker.
Yeah, I know. It's just like in my head, it's all messed up. Well, we have one more story in our show notes. I'll hit this one fast. It's Game Pass editions for February, the rest of February, and removals at the end of the month. So Merge and Blade and Soul Hackers 2 are both being added February 28th. F1 22 is being added March 2nd. Wolong Fallen Dynasty, March 3rd. So that's the only four editions for the next couple weeks.
Wolong, I think a lot of people are anticipating. I'm not going to play it, but I think it was one of those games that at E3 or whatever last year when it was announced coming to Game Pass, everyone was like, oh, okay, cool. This looks interesting.
Yeah, that one does have quite a bit of hype behind it.
Is it Chinese developed? Is that what
I have no idea. No, there was some claim to fame. I don't remember what it was either. I don't know if it's who the developer is or what style of game it is.
Oh, no, it's Koei Tecmo and Team Ninja, so it's Japanese.
Oh, that's why it's Team Ninja. Yeah. That was the provenance.
Koei Tecmo Publishing, yeah.
Okay, so leaving February 28th, these are games leaving Game Pass. There's a couple notable ones. I always kind of comment that there's not a lot of notable ones leaving. So Alien Isolation, Crown Trick. I've never heard of that. Dragon Ball Fighters. Man, I hate that title so much with the capital Z at the end. Far, Changing Tides, Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13. Madden NFL 21, they're taking that one out after they added 23, and then Octopath Traveler. So a lot of notable ones there. Octopath Traveler, Final Fantasy 13, Dragon Ball Fighters, and Alien Isolation. Those four are all pretty big. Also, remember a couple of years ago when they were bringing all the Final Fantasy, like more recent games, to Game Pass, and you can see those contracts are slowly kind of dropping off. Because they staggered them when they added them. Like, remember, they were adding a couple every few months while they got the licensing, or maybe they intended to space it out. Mm-hmm. But those must have been like 2-year deals or something, because here we are. And Final Fantasy 13, I always considered Lightning Returns to be Final Fantasy 13 3, because isn't there a Final Fantasy 13 1 and 2 and then Lightning Returns? I haven't played any of them, so I'm talking completely out of my side of my mouth, but yeah. That's it. Wow, this is a long episode, Spencer. We recorded 31 minutes before our Gus break, and now we're at another hour. So it's going to be an hour and a half episode this time. Which,
man, I'm looking
usually
at,
try and keep it around 60 minutes. So
I'm looking at Team Ninja's Wikipedia page and like the games they've made, and I completely forgot about the like Dead or Alive Extreme like spinoff,
Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, and Extreme 2 spinoffs from the Dead or Alive series, like. LOL, so funny.
Yeah, they did Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. Right, yeah, the very hot and cold, like some of their games are amazing and some of their games are just but well, I want to wrap it up there, Spencer. We mixed in plenty of pop culture about Shazam and nonsense at the beginning and end of this episode, so we won't go off too much in a tangent in our pop culture segment at the end. I forgot, pop culture corner, is that what I called it?
That's what the DC and Marvel movie talk was. That was we just did it earlier than normal.
Yep, sounds good. Gus will be back next week. He's very eager to talk to everyone about The Division and how he's fallen back into the well of The Division 2. Yeah, which I will admit I also booted it up briefly because I'm gonna play some co-op with him at some point, but we'll see. Thanks for listening. Glad you were here. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
I'm Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.